The World Tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. This is Garner Ted Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. A group of teenagers on a panel were asked, what holds you back from immoral conduct, or does anything? Here were the answers, and my friends, it's time you listen to them. In the age in which you're living, where almost every single day you hear of some berserk teenager with a rifle on a hillside or a tower shooting indiscriminately with blind vengeance and ridiculous, incredulous rage at any and everything that moves in his gun sights. You're living in a time where you need to understand what goes on inside the buggy brains of a lot of teenagers. So let's listen to what some few of them have said. And let's try to get some answers about why they say it. What do they believe? What do they look forward to? What is a teenager? What are their fears, their worries, their complexes, their drives? What are their hopes and dreams? Are they any different than a 20 or 22-year-old in any essential manner or the other? Are they any different than a 12 or an 11-year-old, except that they just seemingly have lived a few more months on this earth? You know, too many people are convinced there are a lot of weird, inextricable, difficult answers, if they are answers, at the end of a vague, myriad, complex, a maze of unbelievable, rather nebulous, well, philosophies or something. So they've kidded themselves clear out of reality, thinking that any understanding of a teenage mind is hopeless. It's like the poor, gullible, deluded father who sits with a sort of a far-off expression on his face and parrots like a puppet, an empty-headed repetition of some statement he heard all of his life. Well, son, you'll never understand women. I've never understood your mother. You know, we just get to the point we like to sound the knell, don't we, and beat the gong. We just go ahead and open our mouths and parrot whatever someone else has put into our heads, whether it is truth or not. Well, you know, when this group of teenagers were asked the question, and I don't know how they ascertained these teenagers were being held back from immoral conduct, but they were asked, what holds you back from immoral conduct? Here were their answers. That's a good question, pondered one teen. Now, there's a terrific answer for you. It just came back and said, that's a good question. Another one replied, I couldn't say. Well, you know, these questions and answers are just as intelligent as a lot of the questions and answers you will read from university professors, from those who study in the fields of paleontology. They will say, when you ask them, will mankind survive in the next 15 or 20 years? That's a good question, they will say. Or you might say, will mankind be able to solve the population explosion? Will we be living in a world of peace within another 2 or 3 decades? I couldn't say, might reply a professor. So let's not ridicule the teenagers too much for these kinds of answers, because, of course, these are the type of answers they've always heard from their peers. Now, another one said, the idea of God and concepts of religion don't tend to be real things. They aren't something you can look at face to face. They're just kind of nebulous. In many cases, the reality can be too overwhelming. Now, you'll notice what the youth said, if we'll repeat it again. The idea of God and concepts of religion are nebulous, and you can't look at them face to face, and they don't tend to be real. Well, now, what did he mean by that? Did he mean the truth about God? Did he mean the true religion? Did he mean the facts of the existence of God? No, of course not. He'd never even heard of those things. What he meant was, all that he had heard about God, or the idea of a God from other people, all that he had ever heard or read about men and what they thought and what their concepts might have been concerning religion, to him, he said, were quite vague. A great, big, resounding, hollow, booming amen to that one. You listen to a few of the ideas about God, and that's what they are, ideas about God. And it will make you want to, well, your eyes will want to say tilt and the, you know, top of your head blow off. It'll just be ridiculous. You'll just be lost in fluffy, pink, vague, nebulous clouds of nothing-nothing and never-never world of absolute empty, gaseous vanity, of ridiculous questing for an empty-fisted hand of wind. Now, another one said, The biggest problem is, how can you know absolute truth about sex or anything else? It's so nebulous and so far away. That was the answer from a girl. What? What is nebulous and far away? To her, answers were concrete truths, facts, real moral standards, real laws, a real definite set of rules by which a person ought to live, which are tangible, and you can sink your teeth into them. She said, well, now, the ideas are so nebulous and so far away. How can you know the absolute truth? My friend, this looks to me like a pet store with a lot of parrots who have been taught to talk. And they're all sitting there on their own little perch. And you come in with your little baton, and you say, Polly, want a cracker? And all the parrots say, Polly, want a cracker? Right back at you. Now, what does any individual know? Any individual knows what he knows because it got into his mind by the vehicle or the avenue or the channels of the five senses. And he has been taught certain things. Today, we have a whole generation of youths who, when they're asked, whether in a panel or individually on the street or by their own parents, they are asked questions such as these: what would be the restraint upon immoral conduct? What would hold back a teenager from immoral conduct? Their answers are going to be very similar to this every time. Now, here's a few more before I tell you where they get these answers and where all these ideas come from. You have to go back, said another boy, to the fact that we don't know absolute law. Didn't give the boy's age. I wonder how many books he'd read. Wonder how many public libraries he'd visited. I have a hunch, very few. But he had sat in a classroom for quite a few hours in his young life. He'd been taught by professors as he waded through the lessons to hurry and get them over so he, like any other good boy, could get in the outdoors in the sun with his slingshot, his bicycle, or his automobile. So he could get out on the lake with his canoe or his fishing rod. So he could go date the girl or go to the drive-in or have a cheeseburger with the rest of the gang. So he could get home and build on his model airplane. I wasn't a bit different from any other boy when I grew up. And you don't find very many of the studious type, and you start parroting the things you've always heard. Now, don't say, oh, yeah, but you're just parroting the things you got from your father, because you're wrong, and not either. Oh, I couldn't see my father's religion. I fought it. I was against it, because that's just it. I thought it was my father's religion. It took me quite a while to learn it wasn't. And it doesn't make any difference what I believe, what my father believes, what you believe. What God says, that is the big thing. What is the truth? Is there such a thing as truth? Is there such a thing as an absolute truth, as an absolute law, as a God? You need to write for these booklets I've been announcing, Does God Exist? And the booklet entitled The Proof of the Bible. And then quit kidding yourself. You have to, quote, come back to the fact, and it isn't a fact, that we don't know absolute law. Because we, that is those who do know, those who are the wise, those who have thrown back the cloaks of ignorance and vanity and the pink fluff of never-never guesswork called a nebulous sort of an agnosticism and atheism, those do know, and they know that they know, and they have proved it meticulously and carefully and scientifically, and it is demonstrable, it is completely corroborative, and you can substantiate every last little splinter and every vestige of the actual facts about the existence of God. Now a girl answered the question. There aren't any specific standards, like on the first date you can only hold hands, or on the second or fifth date or whatever you can kiss him. No, I guess all adults would have to look around at the conduct of teenagers, and they would have to admit that, so far as the kids and the youngsters are concerned, there aren't any absolute tangible rules. They have their own standards, it looks like, but their own standards are their own devising. Now, you might ask yourself, well, are their own standards good? Well, you'd have to judge that by what do those standards produce. And what those standards produce are these. They produce unwed mothers and unwed fathers. They produce frustrated, twisted psychoses, neuroses, and guilt complexes. They produce plenty of thousands of illegitimate children. They produce increasing venereal disease. They produce broken homes and broken lives and ruined minds and bodies. They produce misery unparalleled. They produce wretchedness without bounds. They produce limitless filth and depravity and acts of depraved violence. They produce everything that is evil. They do not produce one little bit of good, and any physical, sensual, passing pleasure that kids think they experience in a few moments in the car in Lover's Lane, if, of course, they are not set upon by a would-be murderer, rapist, kidnapper while they're there, any momentary passing thrills are soon going to be emblazoned deeply into their minds as being nowhere near worth all of the terrible wretchedness that follows. Specific standards? Well, the teenagers say there aren't any. But, of course, they're kidding themselves, but it isn't their fault, because that's what they've been taught. And as I said, a lot of people are like parrots sitting on the perch in the pet shop. They have been taught to say certain things. They don't know why they say it. Asked to analyze it, they would be at a loss for words. Asked to give you chapter and verse, the name of the man from whom they got it, to reason it right down to its absolute limits and to tell you this makes sense because, or I can prove this because, well, they would sort of be at a loss to do that. Now, another girl said, regarding immoral conduct and whether or not there are restraints and whether or not teenagers are held back from it, and let's face it, not many are. She said, you set the standards for yourself, kind of playing it by ear at the moment. Oh, I see. And then, of course, in due course, 2 or 3 months later, you come in and say, Daddy, I'm in trouble. I'm in serious trouble, Dad. Is that what you call playing it by ear, boys and girls? Anyone listening to this program? Now, of course, you know, anybody can be deaf, dumb, and blind. We can jump off the deep end in flagrant violence. We can say, like the kid who was caught, you know, and he was shooting a rifle at a lot of teenagers. He said, you're not going to hem me in. Well, he was wrong there. They did, I understand, hem him in. I understand he's hemmed in pretty well today. So we can be given to violence, we can rattle our brains and our heads, and we can be given to venomous outbursts of rage and passion, or we can settle down and think logically and rationally, and we can hold up in one hand a wretched existence of tremendous guilt, depraved acts of violence, unhappiness, financial and monetary failure, the breakup of homes, maybe even a little bit of disease and mental retardation or mental illness along the way. And we can hold, on the other hand, the right standards, ask ourselves, now, wait a minute, could there be absolutes? Could there be absolute truth? Could there be absolute law? Is there a God who sets such laws? And could I prove it? Could I take a few moments of my time to find out whether or not there is a great being who literally lives and who made mankind and made him and set him on this earth for a great purpose and then revealed through knowledge which man could not have discovered in the normal way? Could not have discovered through the channels of the five senses, but revealed to man, if he's willing to receive it, the knowledge about what man is doing here and how he ought to work, how he ought to live, and how he ought to live happily, and in productivity and success, in enjoyment. There is a place to go to find the truth, and to find specific standards, and to find absolutes, absolute truths, absolute laws, absolute standards of conduct. They pay off. They produce the right kind of rewards. They really work, and you can prove it. So before you say something, make sure you know what you're talking about. I certainly make every effort to do that on this program, to get the facts, to know exactly what I'm talking about, to have the backup and the background behind me of the very Word of God, of the most recent, up-to-the-minute, intelligent reports from the greatest minds in the fields that are available to me through the combined resources of the Ambassador College News Bureau, which subscribes to the leading weekly magazines, inside news reports, newspapers, picture magazines, around the world in plenty of different languages. The sun never sets on the offices of the World Tomorrow program. Around the world, and every single day, every week, plenty of reports are coming to me from all around the world, not only from those offices and the official news bureaus. We have our own teletype right in our own offices where I can read it daily if I wish, but also from thousands of scattered, interested listeners who are reporting local conditions that sometimes even the newspaper reporters miss. Now, when I come on the air talking about teenage crime, when I come on the air talking about what pathologists or criminologists or psychologists or others are saying about it, I know what I'm talking about because I've got the latest information right here at my fingertips, and I wasn't sitting in a classroom letting someone with a sort of a pitcher with a funnel in the top of my head pour a lot of cliches, a lot of nebulous statements, a lot of words jumbled together that don't mean anything to me or anybody else either. And when you hear a teenager say, Well, we have to come back to the fact we don't know absolute law. The poor kid, he's just been told that so many times he doesn't know any better. Now, what do you mean? If you're the one who said it, and if you think that, what do you mean you don't know absolute law? Just a moment, hold it a minute. What is a law? Did Newton know what he was talking about, teenagers? Is there a law of gravity? You know, I'm not deaf, dumb, and blind. I figure straight through this earth, give or take a few miles, about 8,000 miles away from me are human beings sitting in juxtaposition to me, upside down. I believe in the law of gravity. What am I, a religious nut or something? Now, you know, I fly an airplane once in a while. I believe in the laws of aerodynamics. I know what keeps the airplane up there. I know what makes it come down, know what makes it go. Lift, drag, thrust. Do you believe in those laws? Well, let's talk about law then. What is law? Do you say those laws are suspendable? Are they absolute? Do they always act? When the sun goes down, does gravity quit, or is gravity pretty dependable? Now, I'm talking to you right now. Do a meshwork of a metal microphone. It's a telefunken mic made in West Germany, as a lot of good microphones are. It's flowing through a line into a machine, which at once is on the air, but at the same time is also scrambling little ultra-microscopic pieces of metal on a piece of, well, I don't know if it's acetate, frankly, or a type of a plastic, but a piece of tape. Electronically, those little particles are being magnetized and being scrambled in a certain direction. Now, that tape can be shipped anywhere around the world, so you people in Sydney, Australia, or out in Coolgardie and Kalgoorlie, down in Launceston in Tasmania, over in South Africa, you people in all parts of England, wherever you live, in northwestern Europe, in Central or South America, you can hear my voice at this moment. You know, I believe in the good old dependable ionosphere. I believe in the transmitting of radio waves. I believe in light, in heat, in force, in energy, in cold, in air, in liquids, in solids, and gas. I believe in the facts of the physical sciences, and my friends, those are laws. Now, don't kid yourself. There are no spiritual laws that are just as filled with force, just as living, just as accurate, just as tangible, and just as provable as these laws of physics. You can't see the law of gravity, but you ought to know it exists unless you are deaf, dumb, and blind. I'll tell you that for sure. Now, you can't see air, but do we all agree air exists? All right, you can't see the law, except that you can read it out of God's Word that tells you about sex and marriage and tells you how teenagers ought to conduct themselves and tells you what the rewards are if they do and what the punishments are if they don't. You can read it, you can see it in that sense of the word, but it is something which, so far as walking up to like a brick wall or a steel wall or a revolving door, you just don't see it in that way, do you? There is a law, however, that says it. Now, it's just as tangible, however, I want to be quick to point this out, as the parking meter on your street. It's just as tangible as the law that tells you don't burn trash at a certain hour of the day. The difference is that with man's laws, it takes another man to see you in the act, and it takes several other men to prove it, and even then, the chances are a smart lawyer could get you off, because man's laws, and there are plenty of them, are rather ineffectual when it comes to carrying out the penalty when they are broken. But let me tell you, the laws of God, if you break them, no human being needs to see, and nobody needs to tell on anyone, and nobody ever needs to find out, no human being. But when you break the laws of God, they are going to break you, and they are at work 24 hours a day. And they're never suspended. And they're just as filled with energy, and they're just as absolute can be. And it's time you looked into them and found out for yourself. Now, teenagers, you ought to write for the booklet on the Ten Commandments. You ought to find out for your own good whether or not it makes sense, whether or not it is smart to neck when you're on a date. You ought to find out whether or not it is intelligent and it's wise to go steady. You ought to find out just who your friends ought to be, how you ought to be living, what is ahead. You ought to be able to hold the world in one hand, in a sense, philosophically speaking, and tell yourself, well, here's what most teenagers are doing. Here's the places they go, the clothes they wear, the styles, and here, of course, is the music they listen to, and here's the type of TV programs, and here is the teenage world of today. Then you ought to be able, in the other hand, to hold up something I've got to give you, and that's these booklets on Does God Exist and the Proof of the Bible, the booklet on the Ten Commandments, the one on how to have a happy marriage, and the booklet on child rearing. Let's say something that makes some sense that you can look into and prove to yourself. Now, that's a challenge because you don't need to take my word for it. Nobody's going to tell you anyhow unless you want to admit it into your mind. I know that. And I wouldn't try to prove it to you unless you want to prove it to yourself, because I can't cram the truth of God down your throat. You've got the key to the door of your mind, and no one can prove anything to you you don't want to have proved to you. Sir Winston Churchill once said, a lot of men stumble across the truth, but they pick themselves up and hurry on as if not very much of serious nature had occurred to them. Now, what about you? Well, it's about time you acted one way or the other, because if you have the wit to see it, Beatlemania never brought too much lasting happiness to too many people. Well, now let's go on and listen to some of the Paul Parrots again. A senior boy in high school said, I am sure I know and see quite a few people of our age who are very immoral by my standard. But who's to judge, he said, what is right and wrong? I believe there is an absolute truth, but I'm not saying I know it. You know, my friends, people tend to say what they've been told to say, don't they? And so, of course, a lot of people in this ready-made society have read ready-made texts, which is a ready-made mixture of so-called knowledge. It's just like the ready-mix packages of morning hotcakes and some of the things that women are using to bake with today that they buy in a package, and they just sort of dump it in a pan and add water, and there you are. Well, in this case, the kids don't even have to add water, or so they think. All they have to do is just say it. It comes right out of the book, and they try to memorize it. They try to get a good grade on the test, because you never saw very many students who were sitting in class earnestly asking themselves, what is wrong with this textbook? And what did the author have in mind? Maybe he's a fella in a university less than 30 miles away. Maybe he's the teacher of the class and he wrote his own textbook. And just because it's in print, does that make it right? Time you begin to ask a question and find out for yourself, what is the book all about? What is the author trying to get across? Is what he is saying really true? Let's not be empty-headed parrots like puppets or automatons. You might put it this way. Here's the teenage boy. He's asked the question, what holds you back from immoral conduct? And he says, you have to come back to the fact that we don't know absolute law. This is a recording. He might as well put it that way because, my friends, he's just parroting something he's always heard. But he doesn't know, and he doesn't know that he doesn't know. And when a person doesn't know that he doesn't know something, he doesn't know that he doesn't know that he doesn't know it. You see what I mean? Unless it's in his head, knowledge, which would come to a person, which would indicate to him he didn't know something before, would, of course, release him from the ignorance that he was experiencing before, and at that time he experienced such ignorance, he didn't know that he didn't know it. Now, that might be a little confusing at first, but it shouldn't be, because a lot of people don't know about God. They don't know about absolute laws. They don't know about the definite standards of living that make life well worth living and make it happy and make it pay off. And like a lot of empty-headed puppets, automatons, and parrots, like recordings, a lot of people have swallowed a lot of ideas about no absolutes. And as a result, in our ready-made, mixed-up society of today, we've got a lot of youths who are parroting back at their seniors what their seniors have told them, and their seniors didn't know what they were talking about. It's time you came down off the fence, teenagers or whoever and whatever you are, and quit kidding yourself. The laws of God are vague and far away, because they are crystal clear, and they are straight from the shoulder, and they do make sense, and there are spiritual and physical laws. Now, you can't see them. They are forces, and they are energies. But I'll guarantee you this. A criminal who is being dragged, kicking, and screaming down his, from death row, those 13 steps of the gas chamber, pretty well is convinced there is a law at work. Someone who is sitting in the chair and has his head shaved and has the electrodes fitted in place is pretty sure that electricity carries a wallop. Now, you can't see electricity, but you can see what it does. And it is there. It exists. So do the spiritual laws of God, as defined and expounded in the Ten Commandments and all the rest of the Bible, and as lived by Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who set us an example that we ought to walk in his steps. There is a law. You can't see it, but you can sure find out it's there. And it's not vague and far away. It's crystal clear. It makes sense. J. Edgar Hoover once said, A child who is taught to obey the laws of God will have little difficulty obeying the laws of man. What causes child crime? Why juvenile delinquency? Why are more than half all major crimes being committed, not only in the United States, but increasingly in Britain, Australia, and Europe, by mere youths? Is it heredity? Is it environment? Is it slums? Is it affluency? Is it education or the lack of it? Could you recognize symptoms of delinquency cropping up in your children? Why is it the vast majority of all murders are committed in the United States, in particular, within the sanctity of the family, between father and son, cousins, close friends? Why is it crime is increasing 5 times faster than the population, and chiefly crimes against property, which indicate lust and a great grasping desire to have more? Why is aggravated assault, which is blind, unreasoning, venomous passion and rage, or attempted murder, being committed to the tune of 65% within the privacy of a home? Chief James Slavin, former police chief of Denver, Colorado, said, "We need to learn how to live together more successfully." And Professor and Mrs. Sheldon Book of the Harvard School of Law, who are noted criminologists, said, "They foresee no let-up in the trend of juvenile delinquency," and they said, "Everyone is so busy managing the children who are already delinquent, they don't have time to think of how to break the vicious cycle that is building up delinquency," and said, "We are not doing the main thing that must be done to prevent the delinquent from becoming a full-fledged delinquent by correcting conditions in the home." Well, parents, teenagers, children, and elderly people, I don't care who you are, you need these booklets. You need to look into it and find out for yourself. And above all things, don't parrot. Don't say like a recording, "There are no absolutes," because there are, and I can prove it to you. Write for these booklets. Does God exist? The proof of the Bible. The booklet on the Ten Commandments, and find out how they are absolutely applicable today. They're the most up-to-date laws you could ever read. And they're acting upon you. Whether or not you know about them, whether or not you have them memorized, makes no difference. They are alive. They act. Write for the booklet on the plain truth about child rearing. It tells you who the real culprits are. It tells you how it got started. It's simple, straight from the shoulder, in layman's language. There is no price for it, no follow-up. Write for the article on how to have a happy marriage and find out for yourself what the laws involving a happy marriage really are. Now, above all things, come down off the fence of doubt and begin to get some tangible answers for yourself, and don't just parrot what someone else told you. Remember these booklets I announced at the beginning of the program on Does God Exist and the Proof of the Bible? Then write for the article, Does God Hate the Rich? Write for this booklet, a big, thick booklet, and a vitally important one that could change your whole life, 7 Laws of Success. It's very important. A lot of you need to be applying some of these principles in your jobs, in your marriages, in your preparation through education. 7 Laws of Success. And also the booklet, How to Solve Your Financial Worries. Many Americans are having trouble making ends meet. They just don't know how to solve their financial problems. Here's how. All you need to do is to write to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure to list the call letters of your station, and don't forget to request the Plain Truth magazine. Write to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.